Well, hello, audience. This is Pat Smith. So I know Bill handled the law show because I was on a conference call with the court. Actually, I've been trying to play the news, and that doesn't seem to be happening, nor does the weather seem to be happening. Now the weather's come up. So let me tell you about the weather this weekend, and then we'll go into the news if we can get it up. Shouldn't say get it up. Get it to run. So what's happening today? Well, as we know, it's been overcast. And if I can, it's a little glitchy today. Trying to do something to see what the weather, this is Somerville. And, I think I'm going to get it now. Sorry. Anyway. So now I get Sunday and Monday. Let's see what we can get for the... I think we have it. So tonight, a low of about 32 degrees, so it should be freezing. And then cloudy with patchy fog. Not supposed to be raining. Tomorrow morning, patchy fog and then mostly cloudy. High of about 44 degrees, so that'll be fairly warm. By Saturday night, there's a slight chance of either rain or snow. I guess it depends on where we live, because low is expected to be about 30 degrees. So just depends how quickly the temperature goes down. By Sunday, it's supposed to be partly sunny, high of about 45 degrees, so that's great. Sunday night, low of about 34, partly cloudy. And again, why is it? It always seems to be the weekdays, but Monday, prediction sunny and high of about 54 degrees. Well, let me try to play the news again because I know it didn't come on. And if not, Bill and I will start the sports guys. Bill and I are here, and we're kind of laughing because he thought he played the news.
Twice.
And he thought he played it twice. So I guess we had some dead air. And in any event, this is the big program before the Super Bowl. And I want Bill to say something, and then I want to give a shout-out to Crown Trophy. I can't even speak.
Crown Trophies.
Crown Trophy.
Okay.
So, Bill, what do you think... What are you going to be doing on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl with one of my oldest and dearest friends over at his house and hopefully not eating or drinking too much. But, you know, I want to talk about grass. No, not the kind that they might legislature might legalize, but the kind that the Super Bowl is going to be played on a football field. When the Chiefs and the 49ers meet in Miami, they're going to be fighting on a carpet of fresh grass that was rolled out just for the occasion. It'll be torn up as soon as the game's over. According to Ed Mangan, the NFL field director for special events, he said that they wanted a brand new surface for the biggest sporting event in the world. And the morning after it's going to get pulled out, they'll build a tennis court and tennis stadium on the football field that they just played the Super Bowl on in Miami. The grass itself is an extra thick layer of sod that weighs roughly 660 tons and covers 92,000 square feet of Miami Gardens Hard Rock Stadium, which after hosting Super Bowl 54 will stage the Miami Open Tennis Tournament. It's like a phone book, said Richard Wilt, who's the farm manager of ProTurf, the Georgia company that grew the surface. The rigidity of it, the thickness of it, we try to be strong enough to withstand weather and 330-pound linemen because we want to be bulletproof and look good.
But let me ask you, Bill, you know, I don't know how thick this is going to be, but what are they going to do to hold it down? I mean, the one thing about turf, grass, you know, they usually roll it out, but, you know, it takes a while before it actually develops roots, so... My understanding is that most people that have sod, they usually have to, you know, not do anything very rough on it for a while until it takes root. So, why didn't they do this sooner? But why didn't they do it, you know, this is Miami. Why didn't they do it 3 weeks ago or so that it would really be what we consider, you know, in Green Bay at least, would be considered grass. And by the way, even in Green Bay, they have some artificial little grass blades in the grass that is natural grass.
Well, it's interesting. The heft and the placement is achieved by rolling out the initial sod out on a sheet of plastic, then applying thin layers of washed white sand as a grass, typically a variety called Bermuda Tifway grows.
Wait. So they're going to put the plastic down,
and then sand.
Well, then how is, if it's on sand, isn't even going to make it easier to move around?
Strangely enough, the people who have this down to a science say that that helps the roots anchor the turf, because apparently the grass is put down a couple weeks later, before the game, rather.
Well, so you mean to say that it's already in place?
It's already in place, that's right.
Okay, so in fact what they're saying is that it has had time to get roots. But again, it's going to be roots into sand, and sand is going to be on top of plastic.
That's what they say. That's kind of odd. I was surprised when I read this. That's why I wanted to talk about it today. In the summer, the sod is regularly watered throughout the day to protect it from heat. And in the winter, they blanket it at night to shield it from cold. And, you know, where it grows in a town called Enigma, Georgia, it was 101 degrees in the summer, and in the winter the low was 23 degrees. Sounds like Green Bay. The grass, which was overseeded with rye grass for color, is also nourished with a fertilizer applied by the spoonful, and it's mowed every day to a height of a half to 5/8 of an inch. The cost of the surface, not including transportation and installation, is $225,000. When it's time to ship, a crew of 40 guys roll up the strips that are 3.5 feet wide by 44 feet long and load them onto flatbed trucks for delivery. This year, they sent 660 rolls to Miami in 30 trucks.
Is this the first time they've ever done this?
I don't know.
Because, I know that the turf at Green Bay is, everybody knows that, you know, Green Bay is one of the few stadiums that now have grass. And what they do, though, is just amazing to keep that able to be played on. But let me ask you.
On June 6th,
let me ask you something else, though, before. Does either San Francisco or Kansas City play on grass now?
I don't know the answer to that. I think they both play on grass now. That was from what
really?
I heard. Yeah.
Okay.
On January 6, the Briggs Golf Construction Company tore out all the grass in the stadium in Miami. The next day they leveled the field. On January 9th and 10th, they rolled out the new lay-and-play surface.
Well, then they should know if it's been there since the 8th or 9th or 10th.
For a month, yeah.
They should be able to figure out whether or not it's going to have any problems. But as I said when we started, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Crown Trophy. And if anybody doesn't know this, you know, they have a replica of the Lombardi Trophy at Crown Trophy. And anybody who's interested in taking a look, you know, should go out and see it. If you don't know Crown, these guys are great. Talk to Jim. He's a very big supporter of the chamber and regularly hosts, I don't know if he's hosting a Super Bowl party this year, but in the past he has. And the other thing, as I said, you can go to the store anytime it's open and take a look at their Super Bowl trophy. And they also do great things. I always appreciate the fact that remember the night we were going to the Devils game? This was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And, of course, John had shirts. And I didn't have time to send to Chicago to get a Blackhawks shirt. So I went down, and they made me a great shirt that I was able to wear to the Devils game. That was the night that they were playing the Blackhawks. So if you... I asked Jim and guess who his money is on? Well, I shouldn't say money. I don't know if he's betting, but who he thinks is going to win.
Well, I think he thinks the Niners are going to win.
Nope. You're
Kansas
wrong.
City?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's Kansas City.
Well, I am too. So that's three of us, and I have a feeling that John, if he ever gets here, is going to want the Kansas City. Now, why about you? Now, actually, if any of you know Jim, his prediction is that the Chiefs will be over the Niners 35-24. And, of course, he's going to root for Patrick Mahomes as they made his MVP award last year. Isn't that neat?
I think so. I think that's really very cool. By the way, you're talking about Lombardi trophies, and I want to show you my picture in front of no fewer than six Lombardi trophies won by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, look at that.
That's out great in Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Right. They've won six
of them. Steelers have won six Lombardi trophies over the years.
And I guess the only team that's won more are the Patriots.
I think you're right, Pat, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm not a Pates fan. I like to root for whoever is playing against them.
Well, you can imagine what it was like when the Lombardi Trophy went back to Green Bay.
Oh, they must have gone crazy.
Do
they have a parade down the main street or just in the stadium?
You know what? I don't remember. But I think what I do remember is the year we went to New Orleans to see, that was when the Packers played against the Patriots and, of course, won. There were a whole crowd of people that actually came down to New Orleans and then went back to Green Bay to watch the game in the stadium because they didn't have tickets to watch it in New Orleans. But I think if I recall, and I can't remember how cold it was, but it would have been pretty cold to watch that game at Lambeau. But in any event, I just wanted to do that shout-out for Jim. And for anybody who has kids, it would be fun for you to take them over to Crown Trophy, which is located here in Flemington. And in fact, they're in the what's that shopping center? I know where it is, but I can't remember what shopping center it's in. Do you know?
Oh, the one where Crown Trophy is.
It's right near Staples.
Oh, right, the Staples Shopping Center. It's called the Hunterdon Shopping Center here in Flemington. It's right off of 202 and 31 and Route 12, right at that intersection. It's been there a long, long, long time. I can tell you that it was there when I was a kid. It's interesting. Kansas City's Travis Kelce and Frisco's George Kittle are two of the game's best tight ends. They brought their teams to the Super Bowl after other teams passed on them. The Niners, George Kittle, and the Chiefs, Travis Kelce, are two of the best tight ends, and it's not a coincidence that both of their teams are reaching the Super Bowl. They're large guys. They shouldn't be quite as fast. They shouldn't be that graceful, but they are. And these types of players are even more rare than they are valuable. The Patriots, who you and I both despise, built an entire offense around Rob Gronkowski because he had the unusual ability to seamlessly morph from an unstoppable pass catcher to a helmeted wrecking ball as a blocker. Kittle and Kelce are heirs to the now-retired Gronkowski throne, superstar tight ends whose defenses can spend weeks trying to figure them out, only to realize that that's kind of an impossible task. Even more curious is that Kelce was a third-rounder in 2013, with four getting selected in front of him. Kelce was a fifth-round pick in the 2017 draft, where eight tight ends were taken ahead of him. So it just goes to show you that being a number one draft pick may not be the end-all and the be-all.
No, and Kelce has really did a great job this year. He truly did.
He did. He's an excellent blocker and an excellent end. The interesting thing is, 2013 was Andy Reid's first year coaching the Chiefs after he left the Eagles, and Kyle Shanahan took over the Niners in 2017. So the teams immediately accomplished something coaches say is tough. Correctly identifying which players will evolve into elite tight ends. There's a lot of reasons for this. Tight ends have rarely played that position all through high school and college because the best athletes get funneled to other positions. Kelce was a quarterback in high school. And while the game has, well, the college and pro game has stylistically merged more and more, one of the big gaps is how tight ends are used. So it leaves teams to make guesses as to how these abilities of these guys are going to translate. And the Chiefs and the Niners are in the Super Bowl, I think, because they've done very well at making this choice.
Well, I have to tell you that, as much as I love my beloved Packers, San Francisco was just the better team. And at that point, I thought maybe they were the best team. Of course, my real consideration here, if for nothing else, is I know Kansas City used to have their spring training in spring or summer training, preseason training.
Did they go to Madison?
No, they went to River Falls.
Oh, so up there, way up there.
They for years they were in River Falls, and so the kids in River Falls, they were, most of them, of course, were Packer fans, but it was nice that they could also be Kansas City fans, and so that was really great. And of course, for me, it's Andy Reid. I really want Andy to get that Super Bowl ring.
Well, Andy used to be a Packer quarterback coach, right?
He was. And, the fact is, but McCarthy was also a coach in San Francisco at one point.
You know what I find very interesting about the Niners? They're always in motion. They have a 21 formation, the quarterback, and then they have three running backs in the backfield. And there's constant movement behind the line of scrimmage, so the defense never really knows what they're going to see because their formations change.
Well, not
once
only
they get to
that,
the line,
they are so fast.
I mean, and they are fast.
I look back over that. The Packers played them twice. They played them on the in November, and I remember that first play. There was a 15-yard penalty. And then there was a fumble on the second yard line, and so San Francisco at that point took over first and goal, and they had a touchdown. So it was 2 minutes, and the score was San Francisco 7, Packers 0, and it went on from there. And in the playoff game, the problem that I saw is that the Packers again, they got behind, and if you get behind with San Francisco, really tough.
No doubt about it. And Frisco can score in bunches too. You got to remember, they have gone back to a traditional running game, the likes of which we probably haven't seen for 20 or 30 years. Because remember, the pass has always been king in the NFL because that's the most spectacular play.
But you also have to have time to pass, and that's one thing. Their defense is so good that it'll be interesting to see how Mahomes, who is a great scrambler, I mean, I really like to watch him.
I do too. He's very entertaining and very athletic.
Not only is he athletic, he seems, like Rodgers, to be able to really see what's happening and maybe change if necessary.
Well, he's right-handed, but I've seen him struggling under pressure, scrambling away, and suddenly he switches hands and he throws a pass with his left hand. It's really interesting to watch him because he's a great athlete. He's very elusive, and it's tough to bring him down. And he can deliver a ball off even when he's off balance, so that's a really talented guy.
I think he's a better quarterback than San Francisco. Their quarterback, although they have such a great line, I mean, they really protect.
Well, it's not just the line. Remember, the tight ends are also back there to protect the quarterback. And one of the things I notice with Kittle and also with Kelce is they're great offensive blockers. Remember something. I think it takes a tight end or a wide receiver about 2.5 to 3 seconds to run 30 yards downfield from the time the ball is snapped. So that means that you've got a quarterback that if he's in the shotgun, has at least 2 to 2.5 to 3 seconds to catch the ball from the shotgun, get it back to his throwing position, and then release the ball to whoever's not covered. And he's got to make that pick. He's got to make that decision very quickly. And one of the things I've noticed about Mahan is that he'll look like he's looking in one direction, and suddenly he throws the ball someplace else.
Oh, that's always been Rodgers.
That's really tricky.
And that's always been Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers, it's hard, although he's been picked this year, but it's hard to see where he's going to throw that ball. The problem with Rodgers this year is he didn't have enough guys to throw to. In fact, when you look at the last San Francisco Packer game, the second half, they became, they weren't as cautious. They were so far behind that they had to open it up. And that worked better. You know,
oh, yeah.
It really did. But the first half.
I agree with you. In the first half against Frisco, it seemed like they were so tight that it's like they were worried about something.
Well, they were just very conservative.
Yeah.
And
that was a game where you got to pull out all the stops.
Yep.
They should never have been that conservative in the first half.
Yep,
they really should have been throwing the ball because Rodgers is a great athlete. And if Frisco has a weakness, and I'm not so sure it is a weakness, the defensive backs are just not as great as people are saying. I can see where if you design the play properly, you can get a couple steps on them, get a little bit of a gap, and a guy like Rodgers can deliver a ball very fast.
And so can Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that I always thought was interesting when Rodgers plays in California, he has huge incentive because, remember, he wanted to play for the 49ers.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. He grew up in California. He played for junior college. He then went to Berkeley. But, I mean, he was always underestimated. And the other little thing that most people don't know is that Mike McCarthy was with San Francisco when Aaron Rodgers was drafted. And
wow.
Remember, they didn't draft Aaron Rodgers. You remember who they took?
No idea.
Alex Smith.
Hmm.
And so, you know, when Aaron was still there at number 24, and, you know, you almost had to be, you know, diehard watching that draft because he was there and you could see how dejected he was looking. And, of course, the Packers didn't need a quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. So that was a good connection. I always thought it was interesting to see how he must have had some resentment against McCarthy from the beginning. And guess what?
We have a dilemma. It's 5:30. John Manfreda has just arrived. Now we have a dilemma. Do we let John talk or do we go to a commercial break?
Oh, well, let's
I think
go,
a commercial break is preferable to listening to me.
You have to catch his breath. He's wearing his Giants gloves, I see.
Do that and then get back and we should have done it before, but we'll do it now.
Okay.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey guys, we're back. Sports, last week of football.
One more game to go, Pat and Bill.
But, I was mentioning both Bill and I and Jim Gano are rooting for the Chiefs, and I think, is that your selection?
Well, that's my AFC team. You know, being a Giants fan and not being a Patriots fan, despite growing up in Boston, I've always liked the Chiefs in the AFC, but they've been a frustrating team since they won the Super Bowl in 1970 under
yes.
Hank Stram. They have really not – They. I would put them in the bottom – 10 certainly teams in the league in terms of what they've done. So it's been hard to be a fan, but I love Arrowhead, war paint, and all of the regalia that goes with the Chiefs. Andy Reid, Andy Reid probably should have 3 rings by now.
Yes.
But in any event, I think there's a very good chance he's going to get a ring here. As I mentioned to Bill last week, and I think he concurred with me, if the Chiefs get up on the 49ers, let's say 21-10, something like that, and it gets into the late third quarter, fourth quarter, I don't think San Francisco has the quick strike capability, certainly, that Mahomes and the Chiefs do. And I wonder if they could come back if they're 2 scores down.
Well, in fact, what I said to Bill before you got here is I think the Packers, the problem with the San Francisco 49er game is the Packers – you know, let them get off to that, you know, quick start. And
once you get behind the 49ers, their front 7
exactly.
is the best in the league.
Exactly.
And they're going to come after you on every play.
And I think that, you know, I can't really say that it was that the San Francisco defense performed poorly in the second half. I think at that point, the Packers realized that they were going to take risks. And
exactly. That opened it up.
Started to, you know, come back, started to open it up. But I think that Kansas City has to figure out a game plan that they protect.
Well,
Mahomes,
you know, Mahomes sprint. He's a sprint rollout quarterback, Bill. He can go left. He can go right.
He can flick
the ball and throw it 60 yards. I mean, on paper, they certainly have the ability to circumvent a very tough San Francisco defense.
And
but, Bill, how are they going to do it?
Well, that's a good question. We were just focusing on Frisco and their running backs, but, you know, the tight ends for both teams are really excellent.
Kelce for the Chiefs and for
Kittle.
The 49ers.
Kittle.
Yeah.
Kittle. And it's interesting because I think the Chiefs are going to have a problem with the Frisco running game, which has been nothing but excellent.
Running game.
It's
you
excellent.
Do know that everybody in California would be
never says
their
that.
Out. You
yeah.
never call him Frisco.
San Francisco.
You're just showing you're from Philadelphia.
You bet I am.
There
I
you go, Pat. That yeah, there you go. There
well,
you go.
Not only am I not from Philly, but I do root for their teams. I'm from Flemington, New Jersey,
right.
and the Bronx.
All right.
So
I learned many years ago, and I'm only saying that because if you said
what's the problem
Frisco
with calling
one
it Frisco?
More time, I was going to pull my hair out.
Well,
people who aren't sports fans would say that, and I know that you are a diehard sports fan.
Well, I'm a Flyers fan, so you have to make allowances for me. They're playing in Pittsburgh tonight against the Penguins, and I'm hoping to get home to watch the game.
Well, I will say one other thing. I notice that they keep talking about that they're playing in Santa Clara, meaning the San Francisco. And guess what? I don't know if I ever hear anybody say the Giants or Jets play in New Jersey.
It's very rare. Usually at the start of the broadcast, they'll say, welcome everyone to the Meadowlands. And they often don't even say New Jersey because it's just kind of understood. I mean, let's face it. Over the last 30 years, since Giants Stadium opened in 1976, which is now, of course, the new MetLife. You know, you really have had a lot of good years of Giant football.
You have.
And you have a lot, being New York, with both the Jets and Giants, you've had, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, I don't think the Jets started playing in Giant Stadium until the early 80s.
I think you're right, because remember, they played at Shea Stadium.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. But my point is, you had all those national broadcasts. So, you know, when they opened up the broadcast, they would say, welcome to the Meadowlands, because it sounded cool. And I think the point is, you're right. They often wouldn't see or say make a reference to New Jersey. They would open up with a New York skyline shot.
Right.
And, you know, from the Meadowlands, and sometimes say in New Jersey. So I think that's what that's attributable to.
I agree, but that's why I thought it was so unusual, or at least different, because you constantly hear Santa Clara when you're talking about. They'll say San Francisco, the team, but they'll always say, "Oh, they're playing in Santa Clara."
You mean at the top of the broadcast where they're announcing
throughout the broadcast?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, I just happened to notice.
Yeah. So. That's right.
Okay, but meanwhile, in San Francisco,
I have to say one other thing.
Yes, Pat.
The only time that I've heard them refer to the Giants, and I think it was the Giants, the Giants playing in New Jersey was that time when the electricity went out.
Oh, of course.
Right.
And the Packers were there. That was a Packer-Giant game.
And then I must have heard.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Of course, then New Jersey takes the hit.
Then,
of course.
You know,
New Jersey infrastructure. New Jersey public utilities.
Well, it was more than that.
Well,
who in New Jersey would be doing the electrical work?
Yeah, well, that too.
Well, it's the same guy.
With a last name probably ending in a vowel, Pat.
Well, and it was probably the same people who let that black cat loose. Remember the black cat game?
Yes, the black cat, Bill. Very good. That is long. That's in the Meadowlands War, but there was a black cat.
Remember, it was this season. It was a Packer game. And the black cat probably got in the end zone more than the Giants did.
Perhaps so.
Well, I did see something on the security in Miami. I can't believe the security in Miami to protect against any disturbance at the game. They have drones. It is really unbelievable.
Is it designated a no-fly zone for this weekend?
I'm sure it is.
But
the security is,
because that would be worse than 9/11.
Although
you have 70,000 people there plus to literally crash the biggest party of the year.
And to see everybody watching.
And to have everybody watching it. Yeah, it's got to be a no-fly
zone. What's the name of the movie where there's a terror
Bloody
attack?
Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Or Bloody Sunday where there's a terrorist attack at the Super Bowl or something like that?
Yeah,
made in the 80s or the 70s?
That was made in the 80s, yeah. Yeah, it was.
I've seen the movie.
And it was a blimp attack, as I recall. It was a
blimp attack, right, yeah. Right.
But did you see this?
The blimp that ate New Jersey.
Did you see this? I don't know. Stealth? Is it considered a bomber?
Yeah, the stealth bomber they put out there for 200 million people to see, right?
Over, that actually was pretty cool because it used to be that there were always jets flying over Lambeau just as the beginning of the game.
Sure.
And they would be coming from somewhere like Maryland.
Oh, yeah, and they get there in about 35 minutes.
But the point is it would be so precise. It would just be the perfect
time. Exactly. It's amazing. That part is amazing.
Well, remember, the Navy and the Air Force are very good about showing up at the right place at the right time.
You're right,
Bill.
Airplanes. You're right.
If you ever go to the Armed Forces Day air show at McGuire Air Force Base or Lakehurst Naval Air Station, they really put on a precision flying show. And one of the really
you ever seen
cool
the Blue things, Angels? We used to go see those as a kid.
I remember
they were out of one of the bases in Massachusetts.
But I think the thing
stationed in Pensacola, by the way.
Yes.
The thing to me was how far they were flying.
You're right, Pat.
To get to Lambeau at precisely. I mean, they were just precise, and so was the stealth. Is it considered a bomb or whatever?
I guess they put the destination in, they put the guidance system on, and the computer just gets them there when they need to be there.
Actually, they don't even need to do that. That's all human reckoning and piloting. That's the skill that these guys have. Sometimes they just turn those devices off and fly because they have to practice doing that because in wartime, GPS gets shut off. In wartime, you could have false signals sent from other satellites to disorient the planes. That's what goes on. So that's why these guys have to do what we call...
But I agree with Pat. Very impressive.
Very impressive.
So what is the regalia that's going to be up for this Super Bowl?
Are you assuming it's
going to be the stealth bomber?
I think it will be. And then,
What's the score going to be and who's going to win, Pat?
Well, I've got to predict Kansas City. And, Jim Gano said... 35-24. I think he's pretty.
Who?
Jim Gano from.
No. Who is going to be 35?
I thought I had said that Jim, Bill, and I all were going.
All are picking the Chiefs. Well, I think they're certainly the sentimental favorite. If you look at the prop bets on this game, it's absolutely amazing. They have a prop bet something like the home team to score first and win the game.
But who's the home team?
I'm not sure. I think
it's the Niners.
I think it's San Francisco is the home team.
Why would either team?
Well,
it's meaningless.
It's meaningless
because somebody has.
Because it's a neutral site.
It's a neutral site.
Why does anybody have to be?
Because of the uniform colors.
Correct.
Oh.
Somebody has to wear those white jerseys.
Yeah. It's just part of
the ritual.
Tradition.
And somebody gets to call the coin toss, and it's the visiting team that gets to call.
It gets to call it in the air. So you've got as part of the
ritual
of the order, if you
the ritual, the aura, whatever you want to call
it. Not quite Robert's rules, but. As to preserve the integrity of the game, which is always the.
I still wish that Minnesota had won that game, so Minnesota and the Packers would have played in Lambeau, because then I think we had a very good chance of the three of us going down to Miami and trying to get last-minute tickets.
That's true, and you can get those last-minute tickets. Yeah. Well, actually, it's got Kansas City listed as the home team here, and they are a 1.5. favorite as of today.
Well, that's impressive.
Super Bowl 54.
Look, I'm an Andy Reid and Mahomes fan, and I really like the way Kelsey plays tight end. And I think...
Well, you know what? With being
on the
same
Kansas
field
City defense
as
is better.
Patrick Mahomes, you and I can look good as a tight end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we'd probably even hang on to a ball that was put on our letters.
I have numbers. A feeling that even I could have held yeah. on to something. Well, maybe not. You know, I wouldn't say that with Rodgers because
his ball was pretty hard.
Oh,
he throws a hard ball.
Remember when Elway came up? That's the one I always put. They had to coach him to slow the ball
right.
down because his receivers were saying, I mean, ball's right there in the window. They couldn't catch it. It was too hot.
There's some Packer fans who broke fingers.
Yeah. There were Broncos who broke fingers, too.
Catching Rodgers.
Not surprising, but you know what's very interesting? I love a good running game. I love the blocking. I think that's so exciting to watch, especially when they're running it out of a wishbone like Frisco's doing.
I'm so
intrigued with how Kansas City's going to defeat that.
Yeah, but the problem, at least with the Packers, they were trying to run it right down the middle, and you can't do that. Not against San Francisco.
No.
So I don't know how Kansas City will do it.
Well,
but
I think the Chiefs run a lot of sweeps. They get outside.
Right. If they get
and
outside,
Mahomes will roll out, and he gets outside. I don't think their strategy will be to try to pop one up the middle.
And what they're also but San Francisco's going to have to watch out because they're going to have somebody guarding him because otherwise he'll run.
I could see
Mahomes
where you would have a shadow
athlete.
On Mahomes at all times.
Oh,
because
yeah.
if he takes off, he could pick up 10, 15, 20 yards easy.
And not
especially
only
if
that.
The receivers are going deep and your zone over the middle is wide open, once he gets beyond the line of scrimmage, you could go 30 yards before he could catch him.
And I don't remember the first year, but he's learned to slide.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
I don't remember if he did that the first year because that's the problem when you have quarterbacks who run.
Well, that was why I couldn't understand the Philadelphia Seattle game. And here's Russell Wilson sliding in, and his Carson Wentz going in heads first.
Right.
And you know, I mean, I got to tell you, that is just plain foolish and reckless.
Yeah. Well, Wilson has also learned to slide.
He's learned to slide. Absolutely.
Rodgers slides. I mean. But that's the one thing that I can remember watching Vic, and
he was very good at that.
Vic was.
I wondered about whether or not he was going to get hurt because he ran so much.
Of course, RG3 has got to be the best example of running stupid. But what did he last? A year and a half.
But remember, Wentz, third year, he finally figured out that he better start to learn how to slide after he took that.
Yeah, but he really didn't, Bill. As the year, as the
season he hasn't
gone.
Learned. That's, he's
he
got.
Really
he's got
didn't.
To now learn. That's right. He does not seem to have the presence of mind when he takes off to realize he's got to drop and slide at a certain point because when he does slide, it's always too late, and he's getting pounded. If he would slide at the right time and he got pounded like he did, you see the Eagles getting a free 15 yards.
Well, that didn't happen very much. So, but getting back to the quarterbacks, everybody wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so. The kid is brilliant. But Garoppolo could be the secret weapon here. Remember, this guy had a lot of favor of Bill Belichick in New England. Brady wanted him gone for a reason. Garoppolo can throw the ball. And I realize they only threw, eight times against the Vikings?
Right.
That was astonishing, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Well, because they couldn't stop the run. So why would you throw if you know you're going to get 5 yards a clip and just run the ball down the field?
Well, but also it seems to me that San Francisco likes that running game.
Oh, it's absolutely.
So
they're built for that.
Big,
strong running. You got three backs there, so you got a tight end, a big line, and you got at least a fullback who can block. That's you know, classic football. So you run power sweeps, and you run the ball, move the chains. So at this point, if the Chiefs, now remember, they were able to stop Tennessee's run game. Everybody thought they would be vulnerable to that. So they stacked the box and they were able to stop the run. So San Francisco might have contingency plans for play action and let Garoppolo throw the ball down the field.
Well,
I think with good results because nobody's going
to
mistake the Chiefs secondary for, you know, the Packer or Cowboy secondary of all of you know, days gone. But I mean, you know, they don't have great corners. So, well,
and although it's a little early, I know that one of us is really thinking about the draft and hoping that his team makes some great selections. Because what are the Giants?
Giants are picking fourth overall, and it's a shame because had they just lost that game to Washington, they would have been picking second, and they would be getting Chase Young.
Picky.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the Packers are what, 26, 27?
Well, sure, they're a playoff team, so they're probably 26 or 27th. But, you know, you take that chance. You know, you'll take a playoff berth every time because you never know how it falls, and you might steal a championship.
And
you have to do that.
I'm hoping the Packers trade up.
Yeah, they might.
So they really still need some receivers. I'm sorry, but
yeah, I mean, clearly that has got to be their top priority.
They really Aaron Rodgers doesn't have anyone that he can consistently throw to other than one guy, and that's just not enough. I mean, he used to throw to 3-4 regularly, and to me, Graham has been a disappointment. I'm sorry, and let's get back to not think about this year. I have to say, I think the Packers, hate to say it, but I think they were lucky.
I wouldn't say they were the strongest 13-3 team I've ever seen. I think things just broke for them the right way. And you know, a lot of those games, Rodgers just was brilliant.
Oh, he was. But he needs...
Now, he took all the heat at the end against San Francisco. And I remember watching those post-game shows, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. It takes 22 guys to beat the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
And, you know, as they say, the quarterback 24. Generally gets too much credit when they win and too much fault or blame when they lose.
Right. No, I mean, and I would say that, you know, there were a couple games. That Lions game, you know, he did not do a good job. I think there was a lot that he could be blamed. Even though they won, Rodgers, that was a very poor game. But you're right. I think that so often, and it truly is unfair when, you know, when you have such a good team around you that it's the quarterback who gets all the accolades. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, look at New England. I mean, they've won with some great defense and great offensive teams. Tom Brady gets all the praise because he does make everybody around him better. And, you know, certainly is you know, clearly a great quarterback. But bottom line is, generally speaking, football, more so than any other sport, is a team game. So you win as a team, you lose as a team.
Oh, no question. No question.
So final predictions here as we roll up to the finish. Give us a brief analysis and your final score, Bill, and we'll see who comes the closest.
Okay.
We've got to write this down, Pat.
Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs 31, Frisco 28.
San Francisco.
I'm calling them Frisco just to annoy you.
You must be.
And why? What is the basis for your selection, Bill?
I think Mahomes is going to put the ball in the air a lot. I think the air attack is going to be phenomenal. It's going to come down to the last minute of play. I think Frisco's running game is going to get them out ahead early. And I think the Chiefs are going to come roaring back just like they did against the Seahawks. I think that you're going to see the Chiefs show that they can run the ball and that they have a better passing attack than San Francisco does. John, how about you?
Well, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a little lower scoring than that. I'm going to take Chiefs 28, San Francisco 24. I think there's going to be a lot of yardage piled up. Both of these teams play good red zone defense. So I think between the 20s, there will be a lot of big plays. I think you will see some really interesting, very difficult goal line stands and red zone play. So I'm going to go with 28-24 Kansas City to win the Super Bowl and give Andy Reid his ring.
Okay. Well, and as I said earlier, Jim Gano said his 35-24. So you all think a low-scoring game. I think it could either be even lower or higher. So I'm going to go...
Well, there's a surprise, Pat. Bill, how about that? It could be lower or higher.
No, no, but
now, a family lawyer could come up with something like that. She thinks he's talking about alimony and child support here.
But I'm really thinking that my prediction is 42-35.
A real high scoring game.
You're going to take the over. I believe the over under is 54. So you're going to take the over. I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
Well, what's the smart money saying out in Vegas on this one?
Well, I did check one site, and there was a lot of money on San Francisco.
Really?
I think a lot of people are taking San Francisco in the points. If you're getting San Francisco with 1.5. That's not a bad bet.
No, it's not.
What I think the reason for the spread is the belief that the Chiefs are so explosive that they will, in the return game, special teams, do better than San Francisco. And that
San Francisco will do better?
No, I think the Chiefs are getting those points based on some special teams play and the fact that Mahomes, let's face it, is good for at least one or two long balls a game, and they just have more explosiveness. So,
well, that's one of the reasons that I'm going 42. Although, you know, it's a stretch, but I still would. Maybe it's just what I'd like to see Kansas City just kind of open it up and have a number of.
I think the issue is purely Pat. If Mahomes has time, San Francisco's dead, and they know it. So they've got to get a lot of pressure in the backfield, and you can't. The problem is, you know, most conventional quarterbacks, you flush them out, and then you limit the ability. What are they going to do at that point? Mahomes has his full repertoire of plays, even when he's being flushed out of the pocket. I heard this absolutely insane statistic that they, and I'm not sure exactly how they define pressure, but it's obviously from the front seven. The average NFL quarterback under pressure has a 15 quarterback rating. Mahomes is 71, the greatest in history.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's just unbelievable under pressure, and I think a lot of it is because he flicks the ball with his wrist. He doesn't have to wind up like an Eli or even a Brady. Right. He can flick the ball, and he gets rid of it before he gets hit.
Well, and the other thing is, if he's flicking the ball, one of the defenders, they can't, you know, they're reaching
harder for them to get up and bat it down.
It's hard to bat down something if you're keeping it close to your body, where most of the quarterbacks, and that was one of the things I used to see about Wentz. Sometimes he would just... A big wind-up, and too much time. Now, Rodgers can do it either way. I mean, you see, he can do that.
He'll throw based on the conditions.
You know, and so that to me is one of the real strengths.
Mahomes has such a quick release, so it's hard to sack him, hard to bat it down, and it's harder to defend against the broken play. I think he's so good with the broken plays because of that innate ability he has to run as well as deliver the football on target, even though he's running full speed.
And as long as they can protect him and somebody not – and one of the concerns I had about Rodgers is when they would break through, when San Francisco broke
they
through –
they hit hard.
They hit him hard, and he went –
He took a beating in that game.
He really took a beating in that game. And the worst part of it is that there were times where he didn't know there was somebody coming.
Well, I think the problem with San
Francisco. I saw that a couple
of
times.
Well, part of the problem is they have a pincer movement. So when you roll out away from pressure, you turn, there's more pressure because they're coming from both lanes, both sides.
Yeah, but there were a couple times where he really couldn't see.
Yeah, he turned to get away and he ran right into somebody else's open arms.
But remember why that happened in Packer games. The Packers do not have great wide receivers, and what that does is that means you don't have to put two guys in double coverage. You can always have one extra guy blitzing, as John points out, to create that pincer to kind of get Aaron Rodgers on his blind side where his back is turned towards the defender.
But if you think about it, that's probably the most logical way to defend Patrick Mahomes, because you don't know if he's going to break left or right.
Right.
So I would think getting pressure, staying in your lane, getting pressure off from the edges, because – you know, the Chiefs don't go up the middle, and I don't think in this game they're going to go up the middle at all.
I don't know,
so against Brady, the answer is you go up the middle.
Right.
That was the way that Tom Coughlin designed that play, and we saw that what the results were. And the Eagles really pretty much did the same thing when they defeated the Patriots. You go up the middle against Kansas City, he sprints out right or left.
Yep. That's right. That's right. You know, it's going to be an interesting game because two different teams, two very different styles, but really great quarterback.
That's right. It's almost like two ideologies going against each other.
It's the pass versus the run, and I'll say it again. I've always been a big fan of the run and great blocking and old-time smash-mouth football. Maybe that's a hockey player coming out.
Well, you know, the other thing, though, I think that Kansas City would have even more of an advantage if they were playing this year in New York.
Why?
Because they're used to the cold.
Oh, they're a cold weather team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's like saying San Francisco's got a better choice in the fog because there's a lot of fog in San Francisco.
Well, they do have a better chance in the fog. But I don't know. When you really, if you've ever been after a game where it's foggy, you can't see. You're sitting in the stands, and you know the football's been thrown, but you really can't tell.
Well, no, that happens a lot in baseball games out
it
there.
Does.
Where there's long, high-fly balls, and they can't see them.
But
that's
I remember an Eagles-Bears game in Chicago where the fog was so bad.
Because that might have been a good thing.
Yeah.
Eagles, Bears, let the fog roll in soon enough to see it.
And I forget who the Eagles quarterback was, but he goes back to throw, and he's looking around, and he can't see through the fog who to throw.
Can't see his own receivers.
To the ground.
Unfortunately, I will be playing a tennis tournament during the Super Bowl having a party, and it's at a tennis center, and we'll be playing and then coming off, rotating, and playing a
few. You're not going to be playing during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. The tournament starts at 6 o'clock. I'll play a set, come off, watch some game, get some food, go back on the court. And it goes.
Oh, these are not football fans if they're doing it.
We're tennis players. What can I tell you?
I expected that they would start because they could easily start at 2 o'clock. Everybody could play. And then everybody could eat and sit and watch the Super Bowl like the rest of us, normal or addicted.
Well, tennis players march to the beat of a different drum.
Yeah, well, some of them.
What can I tell you?
Real football fans.
Yeah, yeah. So
You think I
should protest the start time of the match?
I think that you should go out and say I'm starting at 2 o'clock and ending.
Well,
at
I'm not in charge of this match, somebody else is. I'm not even the captain of this group.
I can't believe that you would play tennis during the Super Bowl.
Well, I think this game and this tennis tournament was scheduled and set up by people who hate football.
Well, it was set up by people who really don't know football. And I'm not
Let's face it. Super Bowl Sunday is not for football fans. It's for the casual fan and the non-fan because it's a big party.
Well, but the casual fan and the corporate person, et cetera, they go to the Super Bowl just to say they were there. But I think all true football fans, I mean, you know, I'm one of these people that I think Monday should be a holiday. And if the Packers were playing
Super Bowl Monday,
a holiday.
They took away Columbus Day, but let's make Super Bowl Monday. All right, folks, we'll enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll be back next week to do the analysis. It's unanimous for KC. Go Chiefs, go.
Go Chiefs,
let's
go.
Let's hear it for the Chiefs and Andy Reid.
And I don't know if anything's going to come up because we couldn't get the news up. So I guess let's wait a minute and see. We're supposed to end the show, but nothing is following. Hold on 1 minute.
Can we get rewind?